So in second grade, I started a new school. That was also the year I started to learn how to write cursive. That was also the year I found out I didn't have such good penmanship. And as an aside, how many seven-year-olds have good penmanship anyway? I also got an F in art. I can distinctly remember standing by Dennis, I don't remember his last name, showing our pictures to the art teacher, and she sort of went, good, good, F, good. Oh, A, you got an A, Dennis. I was standing right next to him. I don't think I was psychically scarred, but perhaps I was. It did take me a long time, however, to come to understand that even though drawing is not my medium, it does not mean that I am not creative. And in what would be an ironic twist, when I was working and practicing as a family therapist and working with children, I would often draw with my clients. It was a great way to connect with the children and to work with them and to get at some of the stuff that was going on. I was lucky enough to have a supervisor who thought that it was a great thing that my level of artistry did not intimidate my clients. I also only ever drew a tree. Evidently, I can draw a pretty good tree now, but nothing else. Pablo Picasso said, all children are artists. The problem is how to remain an artist once he grows up. I would like to broaden that to all children are creative. The problem is how to remain creative once they grow up. I run into a lot of people who unintentionally, equate creativity with artistry or artwork. And then artwork is very narrowly defined. Creative people write, draw, sculpt, paint, or make music. But that's rather narrow and restrictive, I think. Creative can be all sorts of things. When I was getting my MSW, I remember being in a class where we were discussing case management. And we were given the scenario where one of our clients who was aging and living in an assisted living environment needed to be moved to another residence, and it was not going to be a good move for them, and how would we deal with this was the question. I said I would lose their paperwork. I thought that was creative. Deepak Chopra wrote, there are three forces pervading all of life: creation, maintenance, and destruction. We can't be creative all the time. For everything, there is a time, right? For everything, there is a time. A time to create and a time to destroy, a time to just maintain what is, taking care of details, making sure life is cleaned up. Adulting is, after all, necessary. But we can't just maintain all the time. We can't just adult all the time. And maybe we can't just think that creativity is not being adult. So how do we find our creativity? First, I want to emphasize that the very, very, very first step is to find that little judgy voice inside of you. Yes, that little voice that just now said, judgy? I'm not judgy. How can dear Reverend Jennifer accuse me of having a judgy voice? Or the one who said, of course I have a judgy voice. Who wouldn't? I mean, if I had just gone to the grocery store last night and gotten some healthy food, I could have had a healthy breakfast instead of sitting here dreaming about cookies at coffee hour. We all have that judgy voice. And we should, to a certain extent. That judgy voice is what helped our ancestors figure out friend from foe, right before they ran to safety or approached in friendship. But we may have, in our modern day Western society, gone a little overboard in the judgy voice. So try to let it go. Because to find your creativity, you need to be able to let go of the assumptions and the judgments about what is good enough to be creative. And I think nascent creativity, the kind that is just beginning to form, is like a skittish, elusive forest animal. It pokes its nose out of its hiding spot, gently at first, seeing if it is safe, if there is room for it, if there is time for it. It is like that little animal is looking around to see if it has found the right spot. And if it hasn't, it will go away. The judgy voice may keep you safe from predators and help get the bills paid on time, but it probably won't make room for creativity. That is why I had us all participate as we were comfortable with that drawing activity earlier. It didn't take much of something to spark a little creativity, and we got to do it together. Did you make a piece of art that should be in an art museum? No, of course not. But that is the wrong measuring tape to use, because this is not an art museum. Was it affirming to do that? Did you have fun with one another? Were some of you a little uncomfortable? Were some of you a little stretched? If you answered yes to any one of those questions, then it was a wonderfully creative activity. Deepak Chopra also listed the 7 traits of creative people. He said, as long as creation dominates your existence, you will keep growing and evolving. Evolution thwarts entropy, decay, and aging. The most creative people in any field intuitively draw on this understanding. They grow with the full consciousness that they are the source of their own power, and whatever their field, certain traits are shared by them. They are able to contact and enjoy silence. They connect with and enjoy nature. They trust their feelings. They can remain centered and function amid confusion and chaos. They are childlike. They enjoy fantasy and play. They self-refer. They place the highest trust in their own consciousness. They are not rigidly attached to any point of view. Although passionately committed to their creativity, they remain open to possibilities. These 7 things are ways of making room for you to find your creativity. Silence is so necessary, and yet it can make us nervous. Perhaps we get nervous about what will bubble up, but silence is so necessary for creativity. I often say when faced with a new idea, I think I'm going to need to let that percolate a little bit. Meaning I need time and space and silence to let that new idea kind of roll around in my head, and in that way I can make new connections, with which is its own form of creativity. Connecting with nature again, this also makes room or space for creativity. I met up with an old friend of mine the other day. She had just recently retired. And I can tell you that every time she talked about it and said the word retired, a very large smile appeared on her face. She said she had so much more time now. It was wonderful not having every minute of every day already planned out. And she was able to do some things she hadn't done in a long time. She was able to take a walk in the park near her house. She was able to enjoy even that little bit of nature. And she found she was beginning to enjoy things like cooking, and just for the fun of cooking, not for finishing that task, or quilting, something that she hadn't done for a long time. And of course, you have to trust your own feelings. Creativity is not solely a logical left brain kind of thing. When you give yourself time and silence, when you spend some of that time and silence in nature, when you start to trust your feelings, the creativity will start to bubble up. In Deepak Chopra's list, I particularly like the idea of play. We don't do that much as adults, do we? I can remember as a child playing for hours and hours at imaginary play. And that is how our kids learn. They pretend at something as a way of learning new things. So when a group of kids is playing pirates, it's not just about running around and making a lot of noise, although that is fun in and of itself. It's about learning how to be part of a social group. How does one win or lose or cooperate? How does a group come together and make a set of rules? I think that we adults are still capable of imaginary play, but more often than not, our play looks different than what kids play. Some people call it deep play or flow. Have you ever been doing something, playing a piece of music or gardening, hiking, and you get to a place where time just kind of slips away? Your energy and your focus are all pointed in the same direction. I'll talk more about deep play and the sacred in 2 weeks from now, but that kind of play is very creative and nurturing and sacred. So say you have made time and space for creativity. What is that going to look like? What are some examples? I know of someone who does not have his computer save his email log on, which seems counterintuitive and very time-consuming. He must log on every time he gets into his email. But every day he creates a new log-on password. He creates a password that day to remind him of something he wants to focus on. So his password one day might be kindness, and the next day it might be gratitude. He found a creative way to make passwords part of his spiritual practice. Here's another creative thing I found. Katarina Fake, the co-founder of Flickr, suggested that before a meeting, everyone had to down a 16-ounce glass of water. When somebody had to go to the bathroom, the meeting was over. Now, I maintain that's creative and useful. And, you know, this little hack could be used in any number of ways. Like, do you not want to get lost in Wegmans? Down a 16-ounce glass of water. It's free at Wegmans. It'll make your shopping trip go much more quickly. In this day and age, this is part of how we live out our creativity, trying to find solutions to life problems, right? We call them life hacks. So just because you don't draw or sing does not mean that you are not creative. Folks who figure out a hack to something, that is creative. Do you remember the scene in the movie Apollo where the Apollo capsule was in trouble? It was unclear how they were going to get Apollo home, and the engineers had to figure out a way to get them back. One of them brought a big box to a table and dumped out the contents and said, "Here's everything they have that we can use. Let's find a solution." That was creative, very creative. Those engineers were able to find a solution because they could get their hands on what they needed to. Creativity may be traditional art, or it may be storytelling, or cooking, or gardening, or problem solving, or knitting disparate ideas together in a way that works. How do you know if you have found your creativity? Well, first and foremost, it will make you smile. If you're not smiling about it, I'd say move on to something else. Creating something, it adds something positive to your life and to the world around you, and that is reason to smile. Also, you will want to do it again because it was pleasing to you. It will feed your soul, and that is an incentive to do it again. You will feel like more when you have found your creativity because all of this adds to you. It makes you feel better and stronger. And most likely, eventually, you will want to share it with someone. It is human nature to want to share with others what brings us joy. You could hear what I'm saying and think, well, yeah, okay, so only people who have enough money or enough time or enough creativity or even the physical ability could be creative. And I will say no. Recently, Dorothy Reister passed away at the age of, I believe, 100. She had been an artist out in Casanova and a longtime member of May Memorial. Toward the end of her life, she moved to the Nottingham, an assisted living community near here. And I got to know her because she would come to the services on Tuesday afternoon that we hold there. She was a sculptor when she was younger and would often sculpt very large, heavy metal pieces. She was not able to do that in the Nottingham. She was very annoyed with them that they would not allow her to bring her tools with her there. But she continued to sculpt with whatever was around her, with cereal boxes, paper, envelopes, cans, cups, anything that she could get her hands on. She looked me straight in the eye and she said, "I simply can't stop sculpting. I just needed to change my medium." Each of us has this wonderful world inside of us, this creativity just waiting to find its way out. Take the time, take a walk, be in the silence, see what bubbles up. It will feed you, and I promise it will feed the world. Amen, and blessed be.